Hello, I'm Rod Murray, and this is Rod's Pulse Podcast number 6. My podcast is for faculty and students interested in learning how to use and create podcasts. Podcasts are the latest medium for asynchronous teaching and learning. Just a couple of things to review before I get started. First, my blog address. I'm not sure how you're listening to this. If you're clicking on the MP3 file directly within our Blackboard Learning System, then you may not know how to subscribe, but you can go to my blog address, and that is rodforjefferson.blogspot.com. And I just created a new URL, which may be a little easier to remember, www.rodneymurray.com/podcast. If you use iTunes, do a search for Rod's Pulse Podcast, and you can subscribe that way. And on the blog, you can see links on how to subscribe using other podcatchers. Don't forget to leave me feedback at the blog or send email to me at rodney.murray@jefferson.edu. The topic today is Appresso Classroom. Appresso Classroom is an automated lecture capture and web publishing system that produces podcasts and online versions of classroom experience for students to review on demand. After all, our students are part of the on-demand generation, TiVo and all that. Appresso Classroom is a product of a company called AnyStream, and the following interview was recorded at the recent Blackboard World 06 Users Conference in San Diego. Let's get started. I'm here at the Blackboard Exhibit Hall, and I'm talking to Wes Barnes, a system engineer from AnyStream. Their main product is Appresso Classroom. You've been at a couple of Blackboard meetings, right? I think I saw you here last year when I was in Baltimore. Wes, why don't you give us a little short explanation of what Appresso Classroom does from the standpoint of first a faculty person and then a student, okay?
Well, thanks for the time for allowing me to talk about Appresso Classroom. Appresso Classroom is a fully automated lecture capture and web publishing system. It allows you to capture all of your content, all of your lecture content, automatically. It's a completely schedule-driven operation, so it's designed to start and stop automatically based on a timetable. So for faculty members, all they have to do is walk into class, simply put on a microphone, and teach. They don't change any of their user behavior at all. They do what they do every day, walk into class and teach. So our integration really, from the podcasting perspective, this is a kind of a new phenomenon. No one's really sure how it's going to change pedagogy and things like that, but it's a big buzzword, and a lot of universities are starting to talk about it and really look at, you know, this as a means to deliver lecture content. And we do this in an automated fashion using a web server, a back-end server that allows you to manage all of your content called the Appresso Content Manager. We can set up RSS feeds for each individual course based on an ID, a URL. The student can subscribe to that feed and pull down all of the lecture content for that specific course. And it's all MP3 file based, so students can put it on their MP3 players, literally unplug their MP3 players and walk around campus, go to the gym, whatever they want to do, and listen to their lectures. This is an on-demand generation. I'm sure you know that. TiVo's kind of revolutionized the way people watch content and listen to content with TV. Well, podcasting, we believe, will do the same thing. And we believe that this is going to be a big phenomenon, not only for news and things along that line, but also in higher education for lectures.
I know there are other aspects to Appresso Classroom. What does it capture? If you log into Blackboard, what do you see after the lecture has been captured?
We are a building block partner with Blackboard. Our Appresso Content Manager facilitates posting of links within Blackboard for those specific courses. So after the lecture material is captured inside of the classroom, it's transferred to the Appresso Content Manager. And again, that's where all of your content is managed and is served back to the end user. And when that presentation makes it up to that web server, it then posts a link within the specific course using the Blackboard course ID. And we create two links inside of Blackboard, one for the full lecture, which is a rich media-based presentation, plays back over the web containing video, which is an option. Audio is typically the more important piece of the lecture, along with all of the presentation materials used during class. We capture PowerPoint, Excel, anything that happens on the desktop computer or laptop connection that gets connected to the podium as well, along with document cameras and anything that's really being presented on the screen inside of the classroom. All that's captured in real time. And a link back to that presentation is created inside of Blackboard. As well, a link to the presentation audio, the MP3 file, is also generated in Blackboard. And when a new post is available, there's also an announcement associated with that post with some metadata around which course has been captured, the date and timestamp around that as well.
From the faculty standpoint, when they walk into the classroom, do they have to know any of this new technology? How easy is it for faculty in practice to adapt to this?
Well, that was one of the main design considerations for this product, was that anytime you have to teach faculty something new to learn, it becomes a bit of a roadblock to implement and have new adoption for technology. So we designed this product completely to be schedule-driven and unattended. So the faculty member literally just has to show up to the class on time, put on a microphone and teach their class, walk out. All of the interaction, everything that they normally do, they put their thumb drive in, bring up their PowerPoint slides, all of those things that they already do during class, all that thought and consideration for preparing for that class is captured in real time behind the scenes without having the faculty member do anything.
What's the faculty acceptance been for video? I know sometimes I can imagine some faculty might not want to have their picture on the web. In practice, how many allow that, and can they decide to turn that off during the lecture or before?
That's a great question. What we've actually found in many of our installations is that a lot of people think that they want video, and they think that the video is an important aspect to rich media presentations, but what we find is that students don't actually care. What's important to them is actually the audio. So by and large, I would say that probably 80% of our installations are audio only, even though they may have purchased the video version. However, there are caveats to that. It depends on the application. Medical schools, nursing schools, anywhere where there's a procedure that's taking place, where there is maybe hand movements or things like that that are intricate, that require the end user to see what's happening, obviously video is great in those types of applications. Another one of our partners, Gallaudet University, they have a very big need for video with all of the signing that they do. So we're actually in a partnership with them to work with them to create video that captures the content that they're preparing every day, whether it's hand motions or closed captioning and things along that line.
Do you have, first of all, I guess, how many clients do you have that are using Presso Classroom, and do you have any in the Philadelphia area?
I'm not sure of the exact number of our clients currently. It's, I believe, over 30, somewhere between 30 and 40 clients that we have. And Temple University in the Philadelphia area is our biggest customer to date. They have 15 installations there in a variety of different disciplines, business school, medical school, the engineering school. So they've quickly ramped up. They were a pilot customer of ours and then quickly went from 3 to 6 to 12 and now to 15, and we're slated to install another 5 or 6 there over this year. So that's our biggest customer in Philadelphia. We've been working with some other customers, PCOM and Drexel University, to get some traction going there and hopefully get some installations there as well. So we hope to add those two institutions this year as well.
Oh, that's good to know. I'll have to contact the folks at Temple Med, my alma mater, and see what they say about it. You mentioned, especially in a medical situation where you might be demonstrating a procedure, an examination, for example, of a patient or something. Often they'll bring patients into a lecture hall, for example. So video, like you say, would probably be pretty important in that case. How portable is the system? Are there any schools that put all the equipment on a cart so that they can wheel it into a patient room or a simulated, they have simulated patients, for example?
That's a great question as well. Again, the design goal for this product was really around automation and schedule-driven. So when we designed the product, it was actually designed to be a separate PC inside of the classroom that captures all of the lecture content, that kind of sits behind the scenes and does its thing based on that scheduled timetable. But, you know, that design goal was what we thought initially would be, you know, 80-90% of what people wanted. And we've actually found that a mobile device, something that can actually go around to different classrooms and be plugged in and more more attended, is something that people want to do. But the problem with that is that it requires headcount. It requires someone to actually be doing rolling the device over, getting everything hooked up. And we actually believe that that doesn't scale very well. So our design philosophy and our goal with this product is to make lecture capture commonplace, so that you can capture all of your lectures in every room at a price point that's affordable. And if you have to add headcount and have people manage that capturing process, then that kind of falls down. So that was our goal.
That's a good point. Wes, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to be interviewed, and I'll give you the URL for our podcast, and you can tune in. Thanks again. Well, there we go. Appresso seems to have a great product, but I'm not officially endorsing it or any other commercial product for that matter. I'm certainly not being compensated by them or any other vendor. It's too bad, but I'm not. My goal is to raise the consciousness of faculty and administrators to the latest possibilities in e-learning, especially podcasting. Look for another Almost Live interview next week. And also, don't forget to leave feedback and let me know what you'd like to cover. I'd like me to cover. I'm already received several requests to help faculty here at Jefferson create their own podcast. Till next time, have a great week.